Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Hey, what's up, Pennsylvania? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett. I am sitting in for my double good girlfriend, who's also your friend, Dawn Stensland, on The Dawn Stensland Show. And we're going to pivot a little bit. I know that first hour was heavy. Because when you start talking about our children, oh, yes. We feel some kind of way, right? And so we're going to pivot a little bit. And now I want to introduce my good friend, Batya Unger Sargon. Hi, Batya.
Hi, Kathy. It's so amazing to be here with you. You're one of the people that I admire most on this planet. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wow, Batya. That says a lot, girl, because you are on fire. I watch everything you post out there on Twitter. When you're going into Bill Maher's den, when you're going under CNN, MSNBC, all these other legacy media outlets, and you're just speaking truth. And I am just like, yes and amen. I agree with what you're saying. Guys, Batya Unger Sargon, she's a journalist and author. She has written a number of great books. You should go out there, put her name into anywhere books are sold, but I always go to Amazon. Put her name out there. You will find her, and you will be the better for it. You can also find her on Twitter. What's your handle, Batya?
It's at Bunger Sargon, and I'm also on Instagram at Batya US.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yesterday when I went to your Twitter page, because like I said, I watch everything you post out there, and I saw one of your older posts when you went into Bill Maher's den, and you called yourself a MAGA lefty. And I'm like, a MAGA left? What's a MAGA lefty? What is a MAGA lefty, Batya?
So it's my view that left versus right have really gotten scrambled, yes. And they don't really describe America's political tribes anymore.
True.
That's how I see it, which is why because to me, I look at Donald Trump and I say to myself, like, okay, what is his agenda? If I had to, like, boil it down to, let's say, three main planks, I would say his agenda is he's anti-war. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he just hates war, and he's extremely proud of bringing an end to bloodshed whenever he can. Mm-hmm. I would say that he's a protectionist on the economy. He does not really believe in free trade and open borders. He believes really in protecting the value of the American worker by limiting competition, both in terms of trade and in terms of illegal labor. And then I would say he's not really a social conservative. He's a social moderate. So he has a deep respect for religious people and where they're coming from. But his social agenda is also kind of, it's extremely tolerant. So he's quite pro-gay, supports gay marriage. He believes abortion should be a states' rights issue. He doesn't support a national ban. He's more moderate than the traditional Republican Party. So I look at that and I say, okay, well, who else was anti-war, protectionist on the economy, pro-worker, and socially moderate? I mean, the person who really comes to mind is FDR. I mean, that was the Democrats' winning agenda that they used to win for almost a whole century until they abandoned it. And they said, no, to be left now doesn't mean being anti-war. It doesn't mean being pro-worker. It means being, you know, pro 9th-month abortions. It means being pro trans for everybody, as Donald Trump would call it. Not being, you know, supporting the dignity of gay people, but full on, you know, trans women in women's bathrooms, trans women in women's sports. You know, it means policing people's language. It means obsessing over race, right? They redefined what it meant to be left to be something that appeals to their new base, which isn't labor, but it's the over-credentialed elites. So I don't consider that really being left. I think Trump has inherited the pro-worker energy that used to define the left. So to me, that's what it means to be a MAGA lefty. Like, I really, really love this president's agenda because I think it is really built around giving dignity to the littlest among us, which is basically my whole worldview.
You know what? And I don't necessarily disagree with you. Now, I was the first person that the media decided to use the label ultra MAGA on. No one remembers that. But they used that word ultra MAGA on me when I ran against Dr.
That was the first time.
And they said that to be a blight against me. They said it to shame me. But of course, I'm like, yeah, I own that. I am ultra MAGA. I am, and I remember first they labeled me and then they asked me to define it. And so they said, well, what do you think ultra MAGA mean? I said, I don't know, maybe gas at $1.10. Like, it's an economy that is healthy and balanced. That seems pretty ultra MAGA to me. But I am a conservative. I don't even know if I fit perfectly within the Republican Party, although I will never vote Democrat again. So I'm left to voting for one or the other party. And I find myself, kind of at odds with the Republican Party in some respects. But I believe it's our job to perfect the party, but I'm a conservative, and so I'm not a lefty at all. I'm MAGA. I'm an original OG MAGA. And yet, I say all of that to say, I don't necessarily disagree with what you just said. I am anti-war. I am willing to fight when we need to fight. What was that saying? Speak softly and carry a big stick. I am that person, right? If we can sit down with our friends and have a conversation like what Donald Trump just showed the world with Putin, let's sit down versus the previous administration, Biden's administration. It was no, let's not talk to a very powerful nuclear armed country. Let's just call him a thug and a thief and malign him every chance we get. Donald Trump has shown us the opposite. We have strength, but I'm going to sit down and have a conversation. And I agree with that. And I think most Americans agree with that.
100%. I think, if Trump really embodies this new peace through strength model, the Biden administration was sort of war through weakness, right? Mm. Like, they telegraphed to our enemies that we were weak. And so they waged war across the globe. Kathy, I think what's so beautiful about the MAGA movement is that it really actually truly is a big tent. I don't always agree with the president. I don't always agree with the decisions he makes. But if I say something, which, I'm not a politician, I'm a journalist. And so I have to say where I, dissent, that's my job. People are not vicious. They say, that's interesting. I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
And then move on. And I have to tell you, like, when I was on the left, if you dissented in the tiniest way, if you, for example, said, well, I think slavery was horrible, but I don't believe America is still a white supremacy, it was like, to the gulag with you,
Every, yes.
One of your friends would like publicly denounce you publicly. People who like you had known for years, for
yes.
decades, would on Twitter being like, I don't know what happened to this person. She used to be good. Here are some private emails she sent me when we were friends. Like, horrible, horrible, horrible. And it is so different. I'm very clear where I'm coming from, and people in the MAGA movement have been so welcoming to me.
Absolutely.
Like, just beyond, really a really wonderful, wonderful movement that just expresses the best of America, I believe.
And I agree, since I'm a part of that OG MAGA. I was MAGA before Trump. I was all about making America great again before 2016 when he walked down that that escalator. And so I agree. It's always been about, less rigorously. I mean, you have a way you want to live your life. It's kind of like with teaching our children about homosexuality in the schools. That was one of the many defining issues that my husband and I took with the public school system. And we decided to homeschool our kid because it, when I went to have a conversation with the counselor and the teacher, it wasn't one of my perspective is, listen, if I have no problems with gay people. You want to be gay. I don't care. That's none of my business is how I generally see it. You like it. I love it. Go about your business. The problem I have is when you take how you want to live your life and then walk outside of your doors and now try to shove it down my throat or my children's throat and try to normalize something without having a conversation about it. I have a problem with that.
I totally agree. I really think, you know, the idea of what you see in Randy Weingarten, where she calls them like our kids, and they think it's their job to rescue kids from conservative parents by indoctrinating them into woke Marxist ideology, that fills me with disgust. You know, the idea that it is anybody's job to educate a child about things like sexuality and gender, except the parent themselves, fills me with disgust. And, you know, it's on the gender stuff. It's on the race stuff. I have a friend whose kid is the only Black kid in a public school in New York and routinely comes home and tells his father, like, chilling stories about how the teachers are trying to convince him that he's oppressed. He's 9 years old. So it's, and having, you know, it happens to be my, you know, my friend obviously is like a great father and manages to push back a lot, both on the administration and to teach his kid like that this is nonsense. But, you know, a lot of parents are not as on top of this. And you just like you create a mindset in a child that's going to affect them for the rest of their life of inferiority. And it's horrifying to me. Horrifying to me. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
And I really like, I remember the smearing of the Don't Say Gay bill, which was effectively like said, basically, you're not allowed to tell another person's children about sex and trans and gay until they're in the third grade. Like the most obvious banal thing, and the media lost it because it turned out that actually most Democrats want this law for their kids. So I'm like completely on the same side as you on this, Jeff.
I know, right? Hey, listen, I have to take a break. I'm coming up to a hard break. Do you have time to stay over for another segment?
Sure.
Awesome. I know I should have asked you that before. What are you going to say? No. Thank you, Batya. I appreciate you. Hang on one second, my friend, and I will be right back. Guys, if you want to jump into this conversation, feel free to do so. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I see you on the other side. Thank you.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I am sitting in for my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stenslin, on the Dawn Stenslin Show. This is Kathy Barnett. You can find me out there on Twitter every now and again. Like I tell you guys, I'm spending less and less time out there. It's just, it's the wild, wild west some days. But you can find me at Kathy number 4 Truth. And I have my other good girlfriend, Batya Unger Sargon, journalist and author, on the line with us. And such a fascinating conversation, because you're absolutely correct, Batya, that on this side of the aisle, you know, I remember back in the day that, you know, the left was constantly calling for tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. And what we found is that these are some of the most intolerant people you will ever meet in your life. The moment you shift even a little bit from their narrative and how they see things, they're willing to just destroy the relationship. They want to have nothing to do with you. And even in my own family, by the grace of God, I've been able to, you know, keep it all together outside of my own home. My home, we're all conservatives. But outside of my home, as a Black person, the majority of my family are Democrats. And it is a constant, at one point, battle of them saying, oh, my God, I remember little Kathy. She used to be so sweet. What happened? Oh. But it's very true. This side of the aisle, we are not perfect, but there is an openness to have conversation.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously, there's like some, you know, infighting on the right, you know, the DeSantis primary, you know, people against Trump. It got a little bit ugly for a while, but my experience has been really blessed. And, you know, that's even when I'm saying things that I know not everybody agrees with. You know, I just think that as long as that perspective, like we're not the left, we allow dissent and debate here, can prevail, I think that's just very promising for where the right is going. You know, for a long time, the left was actually felt like it was sort of cut out of political power. I'm talking like in the 80s and the 90s, uh-huh. where you had like Reaganism, and the left really felt like, you know, that's it, we've lost political power. And so what they did was they focused all their energy on cultural power. Mm. And they really got it. They took over all the cultural institutions. The culture was very, very left wing. And then with President Obama, they started to rise politically and gain political power. And so for a moment there, they had control both of political power and of cultural power. And it created this insane narcissism, and also like they got power, they got high from it. They thought we'll never have to compete again, right? Like they became convinced that the Republicans were dead and they were never ever gonna have to fight for power, and that it was really their birthright. That was kind of the perspective that took hold. And then came President Donald Trump, and the right suddenly stole the political power back from the left, but they still had the cultural power, right? So this is like 2016, 2017, right. 2018 through 2020, 2021, the moral panic around race. They really controlled the narrative and all the cultural institutions, the novels, the media, the movies, the TV shows. But Kathy, guess what? They are losing control of the culture, and they know it, and they are freaked out about it because Donald Trump made being a conservative cool. It's now cringe and lame and old.
I know.
He's a liberal and a Democrat, and it's edgy and cool to be a conservative.
Yes.
And I never thought I would see it. And it's so awesome. And the culture that the left is putting out is absolute crap. No one watches it. It's pure ideology. And meanwhile, you're having this new cultural renaissance on the right. And it's just a very exciting time.
You know, I have two quick questions for you. One, yes, I agree. They are losing their mind. They have lost the plot. And I find that those kind of people, kind of like putting a dog in a corner, are very dangerous because they would do anything to get out of that corner. And I find that this is a time when we need to be very sober. That's why I love watching what you're putting out. We need to be very sober. We need to be very articulate about what it is we believe, why we believe it. And we need to use this opportunity to speak truth. And to speak it as clearly with as much compassion as we can muster, because I think they're dangerous because they have lost political power right now, as well as the culture.
Yes, I think you're totally right about that. They have this kind of like, you know, like a sinking ship, you know, where you'll kind of do anything. And instead of thinking like, you know, just rationally, okay, how do we recover? There is this feeling of like, you know, the sinking ship and trying to like drag people down with you. I volunteer with this guy who's from South Korea, and he was telling me that there's an expression, I don't remember it, in South Korea where it's like, if I go down, I'm bringing you down with me.
Yeah, basically.
I think that's kind of the energy you're seeing on the left right now. You have someone like Gavin Newsom, who stands for absolutely nothing.
Nothing!
Kathy. He's now copied Trump's tweets. But if you ask him about it, he'll say, well, it's horrible that he tweets this way, and that's why I'm doing it, right? Like, and their message is always the same. When Republicans do it, it's a sin. When we do it, it's a virtue. It's the same thing with the gerrymandering. They're cheating, So we have to do it too. And it's a virtue when we do it, right? Like, this is how they think about everything. Like, they have no values. If Donald Trump says something, they have to say the opposite. But it's evil when he does something and then we're going to copy him and try and do it also. And then it becomes laundered into like virtue. It's so sick and it's so sad that like this once great party has fallen to like, you know, now it's embodied by this person, Gavin Newsom, who's effectively just pure ambition.
Oh, my goodness. They are fantasizing him right now. You know, the videos of him walking out and smiling. And he just look. And now I just saw a Google poll or on Google. I saw a poll that he is the leading potential presidential candidate. And again, this man is like, you have a mask, his whatever the mask is, his face will morph into it. I think that's like a Chinese proverb. Like, whatever the mask you hand to him, his face will morph into it. He is vacuous. There's nothing. He's hollow. He's whatever he needs to be in that moment. But you're right, he is like a poster child for these people right now.
Completely, yeah. I think the real betrayal was on the trans issue, because you saw this happening in real time to where he wanted to come off as a centrist. So we had Charlie Kirk, who I love, on his podcast, and he admitted to Charlie, it is deeply unfair to allow trans people to compete against women. He said, yes, it's unfair. Admits it. We've gone too far. Admits it. We've destroyed the lives of these girls who are forced to compete against men. Okay, great. A piece of legislation comes up in California put forth by the Republicans to ban trans people from women's sports. You would think that this person who just tried to curry favor with the center and with independents and to come off as normal on this issue and represent where 80% of Americans are would help the legislation get through, right? Apparently,
no.
He believes in it. What are you supposed to do when you believe in something? Pass legislation? He does nothing. He sits on his hands and he lets it fail. And that is Gavin Newsom.
Yes. Hey, listen, I want to ask one really quick question. 30 seconds if you got it in you. Right now on Twitter, it's all about these, I'm assuming, gay men, cheerleaders, gay cheerleaders doing the most out there on the field as a cheerleader. I know you say you are part of your MAGA leftist is that you're kind of, you know, a social moderate. What is your take on these gay men as cheerleaders doing the absolute most and being flamboyant with all of the cheers and all that?
I have to say, it's not my favorite thing. Like, to me, a male cheerleader is the guy, the big brawny guy who's like chucking the girls up into the air and catching them, you know, like it's a very gender thing. I remember when I was I was 11 years old and I wanted to become a cheerleader. My parents were like, absolutely not. No way is our daughter doing that. And I was so mad at them, but they were just like, no, you're not going to be prancing around like that. They're very religious. We're a very religious family. And they just felt that was like completely against the values of modesty that they were trying to instill in me. Somewhat unsuccessfully, I shudder to admit, but basically like that. And when I was coming up, it was a very gendered thing, and you had the brawny cheerleader man, boy, who was in charge of like doing these amazing feats. But the point of him was he was able to get the most out of the girl cheerleader, but
Boom.
Also protect her. And I thought that was like a really beautiful addition to the sport. And when I see these like gay guys dancing, like as if they're one of the girls, like I don't like it. Like, it's not, I mean, I don't know that I find it like fairly outrageous, but it's not something I enjoy watching, I have to admit.
Batya, I am here to inform you, you are a conservative MAGA girl. Now, when you go on Bill Maher again, you may want to keep that tagline, MAGA lefty, but I am here to inform you, my friend, you are a conservative. Boom. There you go. I adore you, Matt. Batya, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I adore you. God bless you, Kathy. We'll talk soon.
Yes. Okay, guys. Woo! I'm telling you, you just can't go by the labels people give you. You just gotta listen to them, ask them the right questions, boom, and then you realize, girl, you're a conservative, okay? You're a conservative. I feel the exact same way. Men should be there to support women, not out there just acting like horrible fake version of a woman. It's too much. It looks weird. Yes, there are roles. Yes, gender is real. I know you want to make it up in your mind. It's a construct. No, it's a real thing. So, hey, there you go. MAGA Lefty is really a conservative. See y'all on the other side.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
What's up, Pennsylvania? I was just telling Dan a few moments ago that, I mean, it feels like 15 minutes flat. My 2 hours each hour feels like 15 minutes. That's how quickly it is moving. I am sitting in for Dawn Stenslin on the Dawn Stenslin Show. This is Kathy Barnett. You can find me out there on Twitter at Kathy number 4 Truth. Hey, listen, let me tell you guys, this Thursday, today is Wednesday, so tomorrow, on August 21st, I am going to be at Berks County Patriot. Yes, their doors open up at 5 p.m. The meeting starts at 6:30. I am going to be there. This is Berks County Patriot. It's going to be off of Cuckstown Road in Temple, Temple Fire Ballroom. So anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that if you want to be there, make sure you come up and let me know that you listen to me on the radio. I have a gift to give you if you do that. Okay. Anyway, I want to turn to, let me tell you, I adore this young lady, Chloe Cole. I know y'all know her. She is an activist. She was minding her own business growing up, got kind of, pulled into the whole transgender dysphoria. By the age of 15, she had the surgery to remove her breasts. Not long after that, she realized, I'm not a boy. I'm actually a girl, and I've been harmed. And I happened to meet her. I was following her story long before I met her. And then I met her while I was out on the campaign trail with Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek allowed her to spend time on the campaign trail with me in Iowa. And I had the opportunity of just getting to know her a little bit better, spending a lot of time together, going around, sharing her story, and watching her do her utmost to encourage parents and grandparents to wake up and to protect their children. Chloe, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I saw you not too long ago out there on Twitter. You are a woman now.
I just turned 21 a few weeks ago, and it feels good that I've made it this far.
Yes, I mean, I could see when I met you, I think you were 18. And
it must have been 18 or 17.
Yeah, 17 or 18. And you look like a little girl. And then I saw you a couple of days ago out on Twitter. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Chloe is a woman now. She looks like you're just beautiful, beautiful, and just radiating with just so much light and hope. And it really warmed my heart to see that.
Well, it's really sweet. I really appreciate it.
You know, I was reading, as I'm often doing, and I saw that more than 20 clinics have changed course in response to President Trump, in response to the political shift in winds right now, in response to increasing legal challenges. But roughly 20 clinics are closing their doors all across the nation. And when I saw the name Kaiser Permanente, I thought about you, because isn't that the clinic, or isn't that the hospital, the umbrella that you walked into and started you down that path of transitioning, quote unquote?
Yes, Kaiser was my healthcare provider at the time that performed every single one of these treatments, including the surgery. And seeing all of these clinics shut down their operations for children, to see Kaiser shut down their surgeries for minors is something that personally has been just monumental and really, really fulfilling. And I don't think this would have happened without the many voices, not just mine, but also of the hundreds, thousands of other kids, other young people in my generation who have been directly harmed by this, and the parents and the whistleblowers coming out, we wouldn't be here today.
You know, and as I was reading about Kaiser shutting down and 20 others across the nation shutting down, and the reason they gave for them shutting down, it's not because they said, you know what, we really did harm to children. We mutilated children. Or we chemically castrated little boys. We've permanently altered the direction their life was headed on. We are wrong, and we now know it, and we are repenting. Forgive us. It's not that. It is, the political winds have shifted. Donald Trump's in office. And I don't know. I feel some kind of way about that.
The only thing that they're giving into is political pressure. They don't genuinely believe that what they're doing is wrong. They're only doing this because we're attacking their funding. But these shutdowns and these pauses are just that. They're pauses.
Mm-hmm.
They are not intended to be permanent measures. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to ensure that we create laws that codify this, that make it so that this abuse of children in the medical system is illegal in all 50 states and federally. All of these executive orders that Donald Trump is issuing, including the ones that are targeting the funding of these hospitals and clinics, they are incredible first steps, but they need to be codified into the law.
It's not enough. And this is where we have to turn to the Republican legislators to tell them to stop living high off the hog, going on Fox News, beating their chest. Donald Trump's doing all the work. He's doing all the heavy lifting. And they barely have done anything. Yes, they finally got the big, beautiful bill passed, but that was barely. And they haven't really done much else except for go on fundraising campaigns. We need our legislators, and we as people must demand that they actually start codifying the things Donald Trump has done.
And in the big, beautiful bill that you mentioned, there was a clause for gender that they completely removed.
Mm. Republicans removed it. What was it? Would it have codified the protection of our children?
Yes. I believe it was another measure targeting funding.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been huge. That being said, there are still a lot of wins that are happening, such as with the HHS and even the Federal Trade Commission. Entire federal organizations I never would have thought would have gotten involved in this fight are now battling against it, and there's an investigation that is currently ongoing by the FEC on these procedures, on consumer fraud and damages.
You know, one of the things that concerns me, and it's something that I was guilty of in 2016, we worked really, really hard to get Donald Trump elected in 2016. Donald Trump won, and we in the party kicked our feet up and said, well, we've done our job, right? And we just looked at Donald Trump to do everything. And then 2020 happened and hit all of us in the mouth, in the throat. And then we're like, well, Lord, give us another chance. And we get Trump in office again. We'll never stick our head back in the sand. And what I'm watching are people like, OK, well, I'm gonna go take that vacation now and relax. Now is not the time to relax.
Again.
I'm sorry.
Making the same mistake again, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I fear that there's so many out there who just think that our job is done already, that we've already done all the work. And they're just stopping right before we're at the finish line. And with this in particular, with this abuse and this ideology that's infected pretty much all of our institutions, we've barely even started. barely even started to scratch the surface. There's only, I mean, we still have half the United States to go in terms of legislation. We still don't really have any federal legislation on this. And we can't just stop here.
Yeah, we can't.
We need to keep the momentum going.
Absolutely, right?
Until this is completely illegal and this is not happening to a single child ever again in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, until it's completely illegal and just unthinkable to cut off the healthy breasts of a young girl or to chemically castrate a 10-year-old boy. I mean, that should just be anathema. Like, what are you thinking, you pervert, is how we should see this. And instead, my fear is that in 3 years, when Trump is no longer in office, these people will blow back onto the scene like a bad case of herpes. Like, it's just going to be horrifying to the rest of us.
And that's their plan.
Just wait it out.
Yes.
We got to, you know, when they go low, we got to kick them in the mouth. That's my motto.
I think so.
Just because they're quiet.
They're just waiting till midterms. They're waiting till the next election to get back in power. And potentially we could be at an even worse point then.
Yeah.
If we don't continue to fight this.
I agree. Last question. I read that there are over 300,000 children in America identifying as trans. That blows my mind. That tells me our children are being targeted and groomed.
Absolutely. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher even. I mean, I've been to so many places across the U.S. and even abroad now. Every community I've been to, whether it be at a high school, a college, a church that I'm speaking at, even at state capitals, I see a lot of trans-identified children and young people who are struggling with this part of themselves. And I even meet a lot of parents, grandparents, and family members who are wrestling with their kids, who are wrestling with their friends and trying to help get them on the right track. And this has been every single place I've been to.
Wow.
It just goes to show how widespread this is.
It is.
And even in the most unexpected of places, even in the most,
like
even
church.
In the reddest states,
like
even
church.
In the most like rural conservative communities, this has happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Chloe, Cole, thank you so much. How can people find out more about you?
I am, well, you can primarily find me on social media.
Yes.
My username is C-H-O-O-O-C-O-L-E, Chucole, or you can also look me up by looking up Chloe Cole on X and Instagram, and I'm on YouTube as well.
Yes, you are beautiful, Chloe, and it just really warmed my heart to see you, girl. Keep glowing.
Thank you so much.
Okay, blessings. Okay, guys, my last little few minutes. If you want to call in and say something, now's the time. 855-839-1210. I see y'all on the other side. All right, guys, this is it for today. These 2 hours feel like 15 minutes. I'm telling you, it goes by so quickly when you're having fun and talking to good friends. Hey, listen, I wanted to leave you guys with Mark Twain's advice on growing old. At his 70th birthday party on December 5th, 1905, he gave a speech, and there was not a dry eye in the room. But here's his advice. It's pretty long. I'm just going to sum it up. Here's his advice on growing old. You can't reach old age by another man's road. You have your own road in front of you. You can't do what you go on YouTube. Everyone has advice on how you can live your best life. But here's from Mark Twain. You can't reach old age by another man's road. He understood that aging, like life itself, is an inexplicable combination of fortune, genes, and habit. And that one man's meat is another man's poison. One of the things he stressed in that speech was to avoid comparisons and you will be happier, i.e. stay off of social media. Lastly, he said, age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. blessings, guys. I hope you had a wonderful day. Having a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow. This is Kathy Barnett sitting in for Dawn Stensland on the Dawn Stensland Show. Blessings.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.